PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Welcome to a bonus episode of Cinema Crespediso. I'm here with Chris Crespo, chilling with Drew Cogburn. Drew.
Chris.
How you doing?
I'm here.
You are.
I am.
You are before me. I appreciate that.
Am I before you?
You arst before thou. Thine in thoust placeth. Okay.
Or am I after you?
I'm definitely going to restart this.
No, you're not. Seriously, who are you kidding, Chris? You always say you're going to restart. You never do.
I guess. Yeah, you're right. I'll leave it in. Hey, Drew. Hey, you hear about how...
Fucking worst transition of all time. What's up, Chris?
You hear about dudes are creeps?
Yeah.
And men are the worst?
I mean, yeah. I mean, we've been called pigs, dogs. I mean, just about any other filthy animal you can think of.
Big dogs.
Pig dogs.
You disgusting pig dog.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. No.
Pigs and dogs. Yeah. Rightfully so, because yeah. many men are gross pig dogs.
I mean, we're animals. What do you expect?
We are animals. We are animals who wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yeah, we are.
Show me the pig dog Bill of Rights.
we're stupid monkeys that write things down.
Well, then what does that make stupid monkeys?
Even dumber than us, unfortunately.
Apex beast, yo. Just waiting for that Yellowstone to go off and fix everything already.
Oh, man.
Men are gross. Harvey Weinstein is the current gross du jour. He's been that way now for about a week or so. Rough week for
him.
I
mean, I'm sure somebody grosser is going to come up.
Oh, my God. Yes, absolutely. I mean Cosby's still free.
Yeah.
You know.
Trump's still president.
Trump is still president. Ground by the pussy. They elected him. Donald Trump Jr. tried coming at Jimmy Kimmel. Be like, how come you're not talking about Harvey Weinstein? Because there's this whole thing about how liberal media doesn't want to report on Harvey Weinstein, or the comedians don't want to make jokes about it. When it's like, give him time. The shit just broke. Anyway. And Jimmy Kimmel just replied to Donald Trump Jr. with, "Is like, you know, I'm going to work on that monologue for next week. In the meantime, watch this video," and send him a video of Trump's Access Hollywood tape or the whole ground by the pussy. And like, I force myself on women. I treat them like a bitch, stuff like that. Like, here, just watch this.
No.
And Donald Trump Jr. didn't have a reply to that for some reason.
Don't figure.
Oh, weird. So the great thing about how, now, it's weird how this shit's been going on for so long. But thanks to, you know what, I saw someone posit something online. The reason why these things are finally happening, due to the fact that we live in the information age, the democratization of information, it gets passed around now so quickly, without filter, that the powerful can't contain it anymore. Nope. So even 10 years ago, Weinstein was able to pay people off millions of dollars and get away with the shit. Now, people start tweeting.
Nothing you can do about it.
You become a worldwide trending topic, a hashtag. Before you even know what happened. People get on airplanes, everything's cool.
They get off the airplane.
A 6-7 hour flight later, the world has collapsed around them. They had no idea. They got their phone off airplane mode. I'm a hashtag now.
Yep.
It's wild shit. So in the wake of this, women finally have felt empowered to be able to speak up against this shit, because it's such a a lame system that's been set up against him. So I'm going to just, you know, because I like to stay positive on the show. I like to remind people that Hollywood is garbage. I've been saying that for years. I love movies, but I also know Hollywood is garbage. You can be of two minds of this thing. You know, George Orwell wasn't wrong. And so to keep things lighthearted, here we go. Jennifer Lawrence reported that she had to do a nude lineup. Now, that wasn't necessarily sexual. It was actually for a female producer on a movie. It was one of her earliest roles, apparently. But they had her and a bunch of other women line up, girls, I should say, lined up, naked, with tape covered over their bits. They photographed them. And then that picture was given to Jennifer Lawrence. It was like, look at that. You should be looking like these other chicks. Make sure. Stop being such a fatty. She was hounded for years, probably still is, about being overweight or fat. Jennifer Lawrence. Look at her. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Called fat and overweight for roles. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? So she was fat shamed quite regularly early on, mm-hmm. despite not being fat. Mm-hmm. Reese Witherspoon reported how she was assaulted at the age of, take a guess, Drew?
12.
16. Mm. 16. Not a bad guess. 16 years old. Let's see. I feel true disgust at the director who assaulted me when I was 16 years old and anger at the agents and producers who made me feel that silence was a condition of my employment. I wish I could tell you that was an isolated incident in my career, but Sally, it was not. She did fall short of naming a name, though. Mm. People are still afraid to name names. Some names, anyway. Some names. Reason why Weinstein was the easiest of the big names to name is because no one likes him. Mm-hmm. No one likes him. You know America Ferrara? America Ferrara?
No.
She's 33 years old now. She's on the show called Superstore. I think that's TBS, maybe?
Nope.
Anyway. But she's been around for a while. I think she was in maybe one of those traveling pants or the Ya-Ya Sisterhood or something like that. I mean, yeah, exactly.
Something else that I haven't watched.
Exactly, yes. But I'm saying she's been around. First time I can remember, she says, she wrote, being sexually assaulted, I was, take a guess, Drew.
13.
9 years old. Mm. I told no one and lived with the shame and guilt, thinking all along that I, a 9-year-old child, was somehow responsible for the actions of a grown man. I don't have the story pulled, but Lena Headley. And all those three, none of those are Harvey Weinstein related. They're just like women being like, the whole, have you seen the Me Too? People posting Me Too mm-hmm. on Facebook? And that means that I've been sexually assaulted mm-hmm. as well. If you've been paying attention, anyone out there, you see Me Too all over the place. That's a bummer. The Lena Headley? Heady. Lena Headley?
No, I don't know.
Cersei?
Yeah.
Sarah Connor? Mm-hmm. TV Sarah Connor? Yeah. Short-lived? Mm-hmm. About 10 years ago, she was, do you call it? I guess it's still sexual assault in a way. Met with Weinstein. His MO apparently was...
The hotel room.
Hotel room meeting, showing up in a robe, apparently often like to shower in front of people or use the bathroom, take pisses or whatever. Mm. So he showered in front of her, and she tried to keep it cool and just like keep having an actual meeting and was talking to him while he was being a total creep. And then he came out of the shower and like came up on her and everything, and she was like, nope, and left. Said he was furious at her, and now I remember the story. On the way up to his room, in the elevator, she was like, just so you know, nothing is sexual is going to happen here. This is for the meeting. And he, like, had his hand on her, like, arm and her or lower back. And from that point forward, wherever they went, he was, like, moving her. And then when he rejected her in the hotel room again, she was like, give me my car. I'm leaving. Get me out of here. He, like, by the arm, like, took her out of there the whole way, all the way out. And then before she got in the car, he was like, you don't tell anyone about what happened, because I was like, obviously not her. Mm-hmm. And she said she sat in her car and she cried. Yeah. Because it's a terrible thing.
Sounds about right.
So, the world is a shit place, Drew. Mm-hmm. And we live in it.
Yes.
And while we are not in Hollywood and we are not part of this industry, we are still part of the male culture. And it may not be obvious to us now, but we've contributed to this in ways. Mm-hmm. And we obviously, where I'm not saying, you know, man, Orlando gossip. You know what happened to that Orlando comedy scene a week ago?
Nope.
This dude who liked to put weird pictures of himself and of chicks online a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He also had a website, and he would put a blog post on there, Confessions of a Sexual Predator. And it was about how he was like, oh, I'm a better person now, but I'm confessing to all these horrible things I've done. And it was like a laundry list of things. And then when he put that up there, and then all these other people came out and were like, you also did this and this and this and this, and you've done this and that and that. He is now off of Facebook, and he is persona non grata in this town. At least amongst the comedy scene, they would see it, man.
Go figure, another piece of shit human being.
But he did the thing. He admitted to doing the thing where he was like, he was trying to be all like, oh yeah, I hear you ladies, this is terrible. But he wasn't really listening. He was just trying to get close to these chicks to bang him.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, that's the worst thing you can do. But now you're giving ammunition to these men's rights activists people. Anyway, it's a terrible world that we're living in. So that's why we watch movies to escape it. Because I have to escape our terrible world by going into a better world, like Blade Runner 2049.
Or a more terrible world, like some of the awful, depressing movies that I watch
most
of the time.
Those worlds are all better, Drew. They're all better. You know why?
Because they're not this one.
Because they have an end in sight, and they're not this one. They all have a finite running time. This one, ugh, boy.
It just keeps going.
It just keeps going. We've reported on the show recently the Han Solo, untitled Han Solo movie, that they remember they had the shirts and everything, that the crew shirts that said Solo mm-hmm. on them, and the L was the blaster, mm-hmm. how baller that looked.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, man, they should just call the movie Solo. Like, they'll probably end up calling, right? We were saying they'll probably end up calling it Solo.
Nope.
A Star Wars story.
Nope, call it something else.
Nah, Drew, we nailed it.
We were right.
Solo.
Solo, a Star Wars story is the official title of the movie. Ron Howard's been like social media-ing it up.
Oh, the old man knows how to use the internet?
He's big on Instagram.
Good
he's,
job.
He's big on Instagram. He put up a picture of a while ago. We didn't report this on the show, but he put up a picture of something that a lot of people interpret to believe that we will be seeing the Kessel Run. Ooh. The 12 parsec Kessel Run.
I mean, yeah, that could be fun. Mm-hmm.
I think we're also going to see how how Han Solo wins the Millennium Falcon in a game of cards.
I mean, there's all sorts of...
Or at least in a bet on it was a game of
there's
cards.
There's all sorts of strange little fun things.
All the little things that they mentioned that they can now actually make a movie out of.
Yeah.
But do we really need to see that, Drew?
Not really. Probably definitely not.
Actually. Right? Probably right?
Yeah.
I'm fine with Star Wars. I'm cool with the episodes 7, 8, 9, the Skywalker saga and whatever. I'm cool with offshoots. But do we need these prequels, these fillers, the Obi-Wan movie, the Yoda movie, the Boba Fett movie? Do we need these?
Do we need them? No. They, all of them have the potential to be cool movies.
Sure, any movie has the potential to be a cool movie. The Emoji movie could have been a good movie if you gave it to the right people.
Yeah.
The Lego movie could have been terrible.
But it wasn't.
But it wasn't, right. So, you're right. The potential is still there. As long as these movies are unmade, there is great potential.
Exactly. I mean, a young Han Solo movie could be fun, because in all reality, he's not a hero, so he would just be...
He's a rapscallion.
He would be the dashing rogue, if you will.
He's a smuggler. He's a space pirate.
Exactly.
Yes. He doesn't become a good guy until the third act of Star Wars Episode 4, New Hope. Spoiler alert!
I know. So, that could be fun, but it's not going to be that way. It's not going to be that kind of movie.
No.
Just like the young Obi-Wan movie isn't going to be a lone samurai movie, which it totally should be.
It should be, but it's not necessary. He's actually middle-aged Obi-Wan, which is even weirder. It's like, so he's not young, dynamic,
but he's
not old and wise.
Even better. he's a journeyman samurai.
Yeah, journeyman samurai fighting sand people. He's got to learn how they file two by two.
Yes, well, I got to figure all that shit out. Yeah.
God, I don't want to see these movies.
Which could be, like I said, could be a lot of fun if done right. But it's totally not going to be done right. Because you're never going to see even like a hard PG-13.
No, all these movies are PG.
Yeah.
No, Rogue One was PG-13.
Barely.
But it was, though, because they were, when I was watching the movie, I was like, oh my goodness, they're like, but the stormtroopers were like, they were getting shot point blank in the head when they were laying on the ground, like they were being executed, even though we know these are clones, but they're still being executed by the rebels. And I was like, whoa, this movie's kind of going there. And then after the fact, I looked, I was like, oh, it's PG-13 this whole time. I didn't even know. Also, Revenge of the Sith was PG-13 because of all the Darth Vader stuff. Yeah. He was killed. The illusion that he killed kids. Yeah. Not even actually seeing that. So they've
dabbled.
Tiptoed over here. Yeah, but J.J. Abrams specifically made a PG Episode 7.
Yeah, the original ones, those aren't Disney, so...
Yeah, but they're still children's movies, though.
Yeah, but they're not Disney.
When
Disney gets hold of a property, it's a whole different ball. I mean, Disney tried the weird dark stuff, and it didn't take.
They still do. They just release it under their subsidiary labels that aren't actually labeled Disney. You know, so they try that thing. They want them money too, especially after this year.
Oh yeah,
with your It and your Logan and your Deadpool transition, Deadpool 2. Van City Reynolds, that's Ryan Reynolds' Instagram account, posted this picture of him and the director, David Leitch, co-director of John Wick, director of Atomic Blonde, and the caption says, "That's a wrap on Deadpool 2, : A Song of Fire and Ice."
Of course.
He was giving shouts to everyone, to the director.
Are there going
to
be ice zombie dragons in in Deadpool 2?
They shot in Vancouver, so.
Very well could be.
Might as well. So it's him thanking everyone, and I decided to continue shooting the film in my underwear from Josh Brolin to 12 Points in the Living Room. That Ryan Reynolds is a funny guy.
He's
looking forward to this. Everyone's looking forward to this. Deadpool, surprise hit. That and It. Surprise hits, I think, in terms of scope. I was expecting Deadpool to be successful, but not as big as it was.
Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool was great casting, always has been, even though the first time they, you know, totally fucked it up.
Right. But this time.
How do you have the merc with the mouth not even have
And then
a
they
mouth?
Take away his mouth. Now, I read technically, that thing we see at the end without a mouth, not Deadpool.
Sure.
It's like X, whatever. Not necessarily a Weapon X, but it's a whole new mutant.
Sure it is.
Not Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Also, not Ryan Reynolds.
Obviously.
Much of it. Not him.
Yeah.
It's
Dude was super huge.
Well, and also crazy athletic. It's Brit Fleck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ukrainian Ben Affleck.
Okay.
Because both of those work. Scott Atkins. Who, man. Universal Soldier Regeneration, I think it was called.
So weird.
People watch that movie.
So weird.
It is so wild. The scene where he relearns how to fight and he beats a dude's ass in a sporting goods store is the craziest fight scene.
My favorite part of that is when Jean-Claude Van Damme does the whole Apocalypse Now thing with the shaved head and the painted nonsense.
Painted, and then he fights him at the end. Yeah. And there was a scene where he tracks down Dolph Lundgren, and he's in like that crazy like clubhouse, and he's in the last room. He gets to get to him like it's a video game.
So weird.
Man, I love that weird movie. They went there.
They really did.
Speaking of going there, so Taika Waititi is not officially signed on for Akira, but Warner Brothers is talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's known. They're in discussions.
That's awesome. Hopefully it'll be another one of those. I mean, everyone says that it's impossible. You can't do it. You know, just like it's with Watchmen, this, that, the other.
I think he can.
It all depends.
I mean, yeah, he can. Because the anime did it already.
Yeah. But still, that anime is weird.
You're gonna end up with the weird movie. And the anime is, in itself, a simpler, only partial version of the Akira manga, which is six books long.
The thing is, I mean, yes, it's a cult classic, it's a worldwide whatever, but if they want that movie to make any money in America, they're going to have to simplify the story even more.
Even more, really. Do they have to simplify it, or maybe just emphasize certain things? Fortunately for the producers of Akira, nuclear war is back in fashion as everyday fear.
Yeah.
Yay. So, you know, the movie it's a Japanese product. It is a unique Japanese art in that it is based on, they're the only civilization in the world to have two of their cities wiped out in an instant.
And that, you know, tie in all the rampant drug use in that movie and the fucking technology nonsense.
Well, that's all born out of those events. That's all born out of World War II. And I'm not calling Japan victims either, because Imperial Japan before that was
you want to talk about some nasty motherfuckers.
Look up the rape of Nanking. History's weird. Guys, Taika Waititi in talks to do Akira. Already saying how he would, there's a project out there, the latest version of Akira had Neo Tokyo moved to Neo Manhattan. Because, you know, of the nuclear apocalypse that happened in America. Taika says he's moving that back to Japan. And someone asked him about it. He's doing the rounds for Thor Ragnarok. Someone asked him about Akira. He says, actually, about casting Akira. He says, yeah, actually, Asian teenagers would be the way to do it for me. And probably no name. I mean, sort of unfound, untapped talent. Yeah, I'd probably want to take it a bit back more towards the books. Which is so, that's, now we're talking the opposite of what we're saying. Simplifying it, going back to the books, now we're getting deeper into sticky, weird lore.
I mean, have fun. I'll watch it.
They're opening day.
It's not going to make any money.
They're opening day.
Not a dime.
Now, fortunately, like we're saying, 2017 being the year for successful R-rated movies, maybe Warner Brothers, but go ahead and here's your R rating. Because of the whole body horror thing, there's no way you can do that justice.
Even still, it's gonna be like Mother. Either people are gonna get it and they're gonna love it, or they're gonna be like, what the fuck was that?
But the difference, though, I think, at least with Akira is a known thing, so people could look it up. I have a feeling it would be marketed straightforward, whereas people rebelled against Mother because they got tricked by the marketing. People were showing up for a Jennifer Lawrence horror film and got the Darren Aronofsky
God movie.
Yeah. In more ways than one. So, yeah. I think that's a different thing. I don't think they would hate it. They may not like it. They still may not like it. But I don't think it'll have the Mother level of hate. That was, like, comical. It was so over the top. Jared Leto. We've been talking about him lately. I mean, he's in Blade Runner. He's in the news and stuff. Someone asked him about Tron 3. Did we mention this on the show before? Joe Kaczynski, I think, is talking about coming back to direct a third Tron movie for Disney. I already said he wants Jared Leto to play the main character in the movie. And so someone asked Jared Leto about it. He says, I do think there's so much potential in that world. There's so much stuff to be said. I'm absolutely game, I see what we did there, to try to help in any way that I can to bring that to life. It's something that we're in discussions about and very much looking forward to bringing to reality. It's very early days, though. So, I mean, we're talking 2021, 2022 at this rate.
No, I don't care.
You don't care at all?
Nope.
Man, the first 45 minutes and 46 seconds of Tron Legacy. That was the subtitle, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember the actual title. The first 45 minutes and 46 seconds of that movie are, I think, damn near perfect. Like, and then almost brilliant.
And then it all goes to shit.
Not necessarily the shit. Just then it gets boring. Like, really fast. Once they leave the game arena and they leave all the drama, and then they go when they find Biodigital Jazz Jeff Bridges meditating on the middle of nowhere, the movie slows to a crawl. It picks up again, notably when you get to the nightclub scene. Michael Sheen's running the place, Daft Punk playing the music. That was kind of fun. The big ending was dumb.
No.
It did have a dumb ending.
I'm just not into Tron as much as everybody else is, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
it was cool. I get it.
That's a weird property.
Electric bikes, cool, awesome.
Yeah, those bikes.
Living inside a video game, yay! Whatever.
Yeah, they don't want to live. They're battling. The humans get stuck in there. It sucks.
Don't care.
I like the style of it. I really do think, even story wise, dramatically speaking, that first 45 minutes is almost brilliant, like masterpiece filmmaking. And so it's stunning that the second half of the movie is so like. Oh wait, I have a drop for that.
Circus.
I just wanted to get you, Drew.
Racist Chris Rock.
That's how it's labeled. It says Racist Chris Rock. That's what it says.
That's what it should say.
That's what it says. The Snowman.
What about it?
Are we going to see this thing? I guess we are. We have to.
I mean...
We're going to have to.
Why?
Well, first off, it's weird how in marketing they decide to highlight directors, and sometimes they don't.
Okay.
So we've seen this trailer a bunch.
director's name is nowhere near anything.
Nowhere near, not even from the director of.
Correct.
It's Thomas Alfredson, who broke out with Let the Right One In.
Okay.
And then did one of my favorite movies of the last 10 years or so, yeah. Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's 2 for 2 in my book.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but the word on Snowman is not good. It is not good.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to watching this piece of shit.
To the point where Alfredson, during some press, kind of open about what may have gone wrong in the making of the movie.
Interesting.
Here's Alfredson. Before the movie even comes out, it comes out in a couple days. This is what he says. Our shoot time in Norway was way too short. We didn't get the whole story with us. And when we started editing, we discovered that a lot was missing. It's like when you're making a big jigsaw puzzle and a few pieces are missing so you don't see the whole picture, end quote.
Well, there we go.
It's a movie, Drew. It's coming out this weekend. There's marketing for it. Yes. They've been putting posters out there. They paid Michael Fassbender money to be in it.
They paid this guy money to direct it.
It's missing huge pieces, apparently.
Apparently nobody cares because they're still releasing it.
The Snowman is a project that's been in development since 2011. Martin Scorsese almost made it. And here we go. While The Snowman has been in the works for a while, Alfredson has been attached since 2015. Apparently the issue was the scheduling. After a long period of nothing, it seemed that they found money very quickly, Alfredson says. It happened very abruptly. Suddenly, we got noticed that we had the money and we could start the shoot in London. So it was the type of thing where they were like, waiting. Go. And they're like, shoot. And they're like, okay, we got ourselves. What do we got? Oh, no. We're missing the part where the snowman kills people.
Sweet.
And Michael Fassbender explains the plot. That one scene, we forgot to shoot it.
Damn it.
But we got that shot of that dead fish on the ice, right? Yeah, we got that. Okay, put that in the trailer. That'll get him in.
All right, just get a body double and throw a snowman's head on him, and we'll figure out something.
We'll work it out in post. We're in post. We'll work it out in post.
Damn it.
The Snowman 2. Don't worry, we'll fix all these problems in the Snowman 2. The snowmanning. That's the worst manning, brother.
Snowmanning? Is he all white? Is he the albino one?
Yes. And to be the all-white Manning, that's hard. That is hard to do. One of them's a for sure Trump voter. That is hard to do. Final story, Netflix. They have a name for people who would watch an entire series or an entire season, like when they pop a season out. They have a name for people who watch the whole thing in the first 24 hours. Apparently those people exist. You just made a crazy face like, what? People exist?
Damn.
They call them binge racers.
Binge racer.
A binge racer is a person who strives to marathon through an entire season of a new show within 24 hours of its release in order to claim bragging rights. The two original Netflix shows, actually, not even, the two most binge-raced original shows, so that's what we call them, binge race. Fuller House and Gilmore Girls, which is kind of a cheat because it was only 4 episodes. So it's really like a movie.
Still, two awful properties.
Two awful things. A lot of people like Gilmore Girls. I've never actually watched it. Fuller House is straight up terrible. Terrible. The third most binge race series, Drew. Want to take a guess on this one? It's one that you would know. It's a name you know.
House of Cards.
Close. The Defenders. The Defenders. Now, this is actually kind of an interesting stat. It's the third most binge-raced show, right? However, it was the least viewed Netflix original show in the first 30 days of its debut. So, of all the original shows they put out, that one got the least amount of traction, except amongst the people who are actually wanting to watch it, and they, like,
consumed it.
Crushed it, yes. Like, and then they shat it out to watch the next thing. So I find that quite fascinating.
Actually. I mean, one of these days I might get around to watching The Defenders.
One of these days, let me go. I mean, they're already talking about Punisher is coming out soon, and then Luke Cage season 2. We gotta watch Luke Cage. You have to watch The Defenders to get on Luke Cage season 2, because that's gonna be the whole Luke Cage Iron Fist season.
Yeah.
I think.
still got to watch BoJack.
I think I stopped caring, Drew. That's the problem. We still have to watch BoJack. I care about BoJack.
I don't think I'm ever going to watch this whatever season of House of Cards.
I don't think so either. I stopped caring. I could barely get through the last season.
The last one was fucking boring as shit.
It was so bad. And then this new season, season 5, is not even with the little show creator, Bo Willimon. He left. It's other people.
Yeah.
So no David Fincher, no Bo Willimon. Why are we still...
Why do I care?
It's a dead marriage that, like, it's like Larry King's marriage to this woman. They hate each other. I just read an article about that today. So, yeah, I think... I'm going to watch Punisher because I'm interested in Punisher. But unless it grabs me, like, I'm not going to finish it. Luke Cage, I'll give it a start. But unless it grabs me, I'm not going to finish it. I don't know if I'll ever get around to The Defenders. If you think we should watch The Defenders, hit us up on Twitter on at Crespity. So hit us up with the hashtag DefendersDefender.
I need a compelling reason. I really do.
Give us a compelling reason. Hashtag DefendersDefender. A really compelling reason. Not just, it's good, I like it. Because who the fuck are you? If we cared about your opinion,
you'd be on our podcast.
You'd have your own podcast. We'd be listening to it.
Yeah.
Promoting your opinion.
Well, somebody would be listening to it. I wouldn't be.
Then again, I did start that comment by soliciting their opinion with the hashtag DefendersDefender.
You did.
You know what, guys? The world is a mixed bag of contradictions.
Did you just say the world's a mixed bag of dicks?
The world is a mixed bag of dicks and vaginas. You shake and bake that bag. Shake it up. The dicks, some of the dicks get in some of the vaginas. Some of the dicks are banging together. Some of the vaginas are banging together. Some dicks are alone. Some vaginas are alone. It's a weird, wild bag, guys, that we're all stuck in. And it's a contradictory mess. I hate Hollywood and I love it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Drew and I love Drew. You guys know how this goes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. These dubstep drops are just god awful.
Yeah, but I won that staring contest. You didn't even try.
For the first time ever.
Yeah, you didn't even try. I won that one. Guys, we appreciate it. That's the end of the show. Drew, where can people find you online?
At antihero419, all over the internet.
Excellent. Hit us up on Twitter at Crespity. So we have episode 250 this weekend. Big episode 250. And we are going to have returning guest Amy Drew Thompson.
Sweet.
It's been a while, but we love having her on. And I think she's bringing donuts, Drew.
More than likely.
Yay.
I mean, that would be par for the course.
Yay. Love me some donuts. So we're going to have an awesome time talking about movies this weekend. And yeah, listen to episode 250. Drew and I will let you know how bad the Snowman really is. Or what if it's good?
It could be.
What if the director's wrong about his own movie? It happens.
It does. Sometimes.
All right, Mr. Robot, episode 2 starts in 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Can't wait to watch it some other time.
I can't wait to watch it in 1 hour and 5 minutes after I mix down the show and post it. Peace!